The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'd like to begin by reading a story from my book, Monastery Within. And this story is titled, A Monastic Alternative. So chances are not a lot of you are going off to become monks or nuns. So maybe this is interesting. As a teenager, she often visited the monastery. She was deeply attracted to the monastic life. The Buddhist path to liberation was what had the most meaning for her. When she became an adult, she planned on joining the monastic order. However, when she turned 21, her older sister and her sister's husband died in an accident, and she became the foster parent of her two young children. In addition, her own parents had become quite old and needed her help. As the only income earner in the family, she had to work long hours every day. She loved to meditate, but with all the work and caregiving she had to do, she had no time for it. Since she was not able to fulfill her aspirations for following the monastic path, she went to the abbess of the monastery and asked, how could she follow the path with the life she had to live? The abbess said that if she couldn't meditate, then the best alternative is to be grateful for everything. To be grateful for everything. To be grateful. So it seems like a good time of year to consider gratitude. Grateful for the year. And the Buddha said that, as I think most religions say, that gratitude is a really important part of a healthy life, of a wise life. Wise people are grateful and acknowledge the benefits they receive, offer their thanks. For me, one of the very significant aspects of doing meditation practice has been and still remains the gratitude that wells up from doing it. And I think people don't often associate meditation with producing gratitude. I mean, the common associations, it helps people be relaxed, to calm, to get centered, to maybe to have insight, a variety of things like that. But gratitude isn't, you know, automatically associated with meditation. But I would say it's one of the really important and enduring consequences of meditation for me. And I often feel at the end of a session of meditation, I feel grateful, and I feel appreciation. And then it's a reasonable question would be, grateful and appreciative of what? And I prefer not to answer the question. I just feel delighted that I feel grateful. Do I have to answer the question? Do I have to, because I feel grateful, do I have to have a reason for it? If I feel appreciative, do I have to have a reason for it? I mean, sometimes there's reasons which are great. But isn't that wonderful that there's a spiritual practice or inner practice that somehow produces this emotion, this state, this quality, without particularly having a reason for it? Or perhaps the reason, which seems a little bit weak to me, weak but also quite significant, I'm grateful because I'm alive. I'm grateful because I'm aware, I'm present. Just to be alive, you know, it's a pretty amazing thing. But as I've reflected on the movement, the way that meditation brings forth gratitude, it might be helpful to distinguish between two movements of the heart, two movements of our inner life. There's the movement where things get contracted, closed, and there's a movement where things get expansive and open. And certain activities of our mind close things down, make us less available to the world around us, less sensitive, less capable to feel empathy, and less able to feel a whole series of different kinds of healthy emotions. And other kind of movement activities of the mind, things we focus on or involved in, tend to open us up, tend to be more expansive and increase our capacity for empathy, for caring, for sensitivity, for a whole slew of kind of more positive emotions. And things like joy, love, empathy, gratitude, appreciation are kind of like a package that seem to come together as the heart opens up, as we feel more expansive and open, and tend to go away as we tend to get contracted and tight. And so what is it that makes us contracted and tight? I think that a preoccupation with greed makes us close. Preoccupation with what I want, trying to be in control of the situation in a tight way, like as it's up to you and you can just get what you want or kind of take care of yourself in some way. Oddly enough, over-concerned with self-protection, defending oneself, protecting oneself, hiding, not being seen, not having people know you, also has the same effect that it tends to contract and close down something. In fact, I think most spiritual traditions will say that excessive preoccupation with yourself doesn't have good results. Excessive preoccupation with yourself tends to close things down. For one reason is that when we're excessively preoccupied with ourselves, we tend to live in a world of thoughts and ideas and concepts. And anytime we're kind of caught up in world of thoughts and ideas and concepts, it also tends to have the effect of closing us down, narrowing us. One of the remarkable, insights to have with meditation practice, mindfulness practice, is to see clearly that there's a difference between the thoughts we have, the concepts we have, the ideas we have, and the glue that keeps us bound to those ideas. Sometimes that glue is super glue. And when it's really close and tight, what we think is who we are. What we think is how things are, how the world is. What we think will have a tremendous impact on how we feel and our state and what goes on. And if super glue is so tight, attached to our ideas, our concepts, our opinions, even if they're true opinions, they're right, good, the glue, the way we hold on to them, tends to close us down, tends to constrict, tends to put a barrier between the openness of the heart. It's not super glue that it keeps us to our thoughts, but maybe it's like Elmer's glue. I've become an expert on Elmer's glue, raising children. Elmer's glue has a good reason why they have that at home when you have kids, because it cleans up. You put water on it, then it dissolves. So sometimes, the thoughts in us are connected to Elmer's glue, and so it's just a matter of water, and it's not so much work to kind of get it to dissolve and free us from the thoughts. And then sometimes thoughts are hardly attached at all, and all it takes is a little bit of awareness, and it dissolves, the connection, the glue that keeps it there. And sometimes there's no glue at all. And it's really remarkable to watch a thought arise in the mind and see that you are independent of the thought. See that you in no way are defined by the thought, involved in the thought. It could be a brilliant thought, it could be an awful thought, and you see that's a thought. As opposed to believing the thought, getting involved in the thought, being pushed around by the thought, or getting caught up in associated thinking that kind of like a wave after wave follows and follows and follows, like a chain, like a train that follows, different wagons. Just to have a single, wave or a single wagon of a train go by and just let it be there by itself. It's quite a remarkable thing. And to actually see that it's different, to see that that's just a thought, and see the thought is there in a certain kind of way, you are here. Who are you when you're not thinking? Who are you when you don't have thoughts to tell you who you are? Who are you when you don't tell yourself a thought about who you are? You're still here. And sometimes when you don't connect, when you're not limited by thoughts, when you're not defining yourself by a thought, when you're not involved in thinking, you see thoughts are just thoughts and you're separate from the thoughts, but you're not telling yourself who you are, you're much closer to this place of being open, expansive, you're much closer, I believe, to a place of heart and openness. So I think that it's kind of natural, I believe, I hope it's natural enough, that as we tend to meditate, as we meditate, and we learn how to separate ourselves from our thinking, as we begin applying the water to the Elmer's glue, and it begins to kind of separate ourselves and to quiet down and not caught up in that, we're no longer focusing on trying to get what we want. We're not focusing on my suffering and my pain in some kind of contracted way. Not to deny pain and suffering, but we're not contracted by it. We're not super glued to it. We begin to separate and soften around it. Dimensions of sensitivity, dimensions of openness, dimensions of emotions that can flow, so-called positive emotions, can flow from us, begin to bubble up. That are very hard, as I keep saying, when we're self-preoccupied, when we're caught up in desires and what we want, when we're caught up in our regrets and what didn't happen, and our losses. When we're caught up with any of these things, as real as, you know, important they might be, the caught-upness limits the capacity of our hearts. So for example, there's a fairly common exercise that people will ask is, or mention is, rather than focusing on what you want, focus on what you have. Be grateful with what you have, rather than focus on what you don't have yet. And are there things to be grateful for? Do you have things to be grateful for? And how often do you spend time reflecting on what you're grateful for? Before giving this talk, thinking about giving this talk, I dug up notes I had when I used to write out my Dharma talks. And I had one talk written about gratitude. The title is Gratitude. And the most interesting thing about the talk for me, in his notes, was that the date, I put the date on when I gave the talk, and the date was 1995. And so that's long ago. But what was interesting about that date for me is that it was before the advent of the real kind of strength and development of a field of psychology called positive psychology, which my understanding kind of really began taking off in around 2000. And since that time, there's been a lot of studies on gratitude and the value of gratitude. And what the researchers have discovering is that from the experiments they do, that the person who is grateful benefits from the gratitude. And so they have these exercises, they have these control groups, and they have some people who do like every day, for example, for 10 weeks or 6 weeks, write down 5 things they're grateful for. And then they have, you know, maybe a control group who doesn't do anything. And they have another group that writes down just 5 things that about the day they didn't work. And then they study the happiness level of these different groups. And the happiness level of the people who write down these gratitude reflections increases over time. But but also they found that the people who do this gratitude reflections every day, they report fewer headaches, less pain, a variety of kind of physical symptoms decrease for the people who are expressing gratitude. Why is that? What is it about gratitude? So here we have the idea that gratitude benefits the person who's grateful. So is it valuable to spend time being grateful? What are you grateful for? There's a very touching, I said this recently, I hope it wasn't a Sunday morning, a very touching story I read about Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers was probably the person, one of the people who qualifies as American saint, at least a television personality. And I loved Mr. Rogers. I didn't discover him until I had kids, and I thought he was great. And apparently Mr. Rogers won an Academy Award or something like that, Oscar, I don't know, for TV, right? One of those? Oscar? Emmy. I don't know. I'm grateful for not watching TV and for not knowing. And he got an Emmy, I guess. And so apparently it was on TV. It's this big award, and all these movie stars and people, movie industry people, were in the audience, and Mr. Rogers comes up to get his award. And in his wonderful way, he said something like, he's grateful, and really this is a good time for everyone to be silent for a minute and reflect on, see, everyone had someone to help them get where they are now in their life, someone who believed in them, supported them, someone that they're grateful for. And let's spend a minute remembering those people in silence. And so apparently the movie producers, the TV producers in the show, like, was like, frantic, what do we do? a minute of silence on public TV. So what do you do? Just, you know, spend a minute focusing on Mr. Rogers? A minute is a long time on TV. And so they panned the audience. And the article that I wrote, that talked about this, said as they panned the audience and everyone was sitting there doing this reflection, people are crying. It's a beautiful thing. Mr. Rogers did it again. And perhaps it's very hard to have Buddhist spirituality without some feeling of gratitude, because there's a reciprocal relationship. As we meditate and open up, become more expansive, I think it's natural to have these things like joy and happiness, gratitude come. But also it's a reciprocal, it's mutual. As we focus on being grateful, then it tends to open up the heart. So it goes in both directions. And it might be hard to be joyful. It might be hard to be happy. But I think it's relatively easy to be grateful, because gratitude depends on a certain reflection. Joy and happiness, I don't know, takes a little bit more effort perhaps to recognize it or to evoke it. But it's possible to do a gratitude journal. It's possible to write down reflections. It's possible to go to someone and express your appreciation of them, their gratitude for them being in your life. And I know there was a time in my life where clearly I thought this was silly and a little bit saccharine-like, a little bit, I didn't quite trust, this kind of going, if someone had told, if I'd listened to this talk, someone gave this talk 30 years ago, I would have cringed. So maybe, hopefully none of you are cringing. But now I've come to really appreciate and love feelings of appreciation, of gratitude. Certainly the effect it has on me. But I also love the idea that of supporting and helping in other people, or I don't know if that's the right word, but expressing it, letting other people feel the appreciation that we have for each other. Some people have protested that the things like emphasis on gratitude is not really appropriate in a world where there's so much suffering in the wake of people of loss and all kinds of things. And other people have said that this is actually a very important time for gratitude. And in fact, it's a fairly common movement for people to feel grateful when there's been great loss. Not everyone, of course, but it's a movement there. And there's a world of difference between being upset and angry or horrified or around the loss of someone who's died who we love, versus, or in addition to doing that, to spending time reflecting on being grateful that you knew that person, being grateful that person was in your life. And to spend some time that reflection, be grateful that person was in your life, I liken to, you're not denying the grief, you're not denying the loss and the problems, but it adds a different element to the ecology of the heart. It focuses on a particular aspect of the heart, which maybe is a capacity that's there, that's not meant to deny what the situation is. I liken it to, if you're in a sailboat and you want to sail against the wind, you're foolish to sail direct. You can't sail a sailboat directly against the wind. It doesn't work that way. You have to kind of go to the side and catch the wind from the side, and you kind of have to tack back and forth. And so thinking about what we're grateful, what we appreciate when the storms of life is maybe like setting the sails just right to catch the wind, to be with a difficult situation in a way that helps us move forward, not to deny it. So it's possible to reflect and spend time thinking about gratitude. And I think, I suspect most people, if they did an inventory of the top 25 things they think about during the week, and they saw the list, most people would probably agree that it's reasonable to stick in there in the top 25 a little bit of period of gratitude, thinking about what you're grateful and appreciative of, but to do it consciously, because maybe you can't do it if you just set the intention. You have to actually do it intentionally or clearly, or you have to do it. But maybe, you know, I suspect that if you took the top 25 things you think about and drop number 25 down to 26, and at 25 you put gratitude, you know, I don't know how many times a week you think about that 25th top, you know, tune, but if that would have a dramatic and remarkable impact on your life. Because we're not talking about like going around all the time thinking about gratitude, but to bring it into your life, salt it into your life, sprinkle it in, I suspect will have dramatic effects. Gratitude has a very powerful effect, I believe, on generosity. Generosity is kind of like giving, and generosity is kind of like the cardinal virtue in Buddhism, kind of the entry point to Buddhism. The Buddha emphasizes over and over again how important it is. But to give when you're grateful, to give as expression of gratitude, as part of gratitude, is a protection from the generosity being a way of getting something for yourself, or being kind of a little bit aloof or looking down upon someone. I'm the one who's giving, and here, you poor soul, I'm going to give you something. But to give in a field of gratitude, of appreciation, where I think it makes us more equal, or makes us more sharing a world that's open and expansive. And this is, I think, one of the really beautiful things is for human beings as a community to share with each other the expansive qualities of their heart, of their inner life, the open qualities of heart, as opposed to sharing the closed parts when we're angry and hateful and caught up in ourselves. And so I hope that something like mindfulness practice, meditation practice, I hope that coming here to IMC is something that supports the opening of our heart. And if you want a jump start in that process, practice gratitude. Look at what you're grateful for. So as we come to the end of this talk, what I'd like to do is, you know, for me personally, and also for many people, the IMC community, and the fact that this building is here, this community is here, and this, we do a tremendous amount to serve so many people, all with volunteers. I don't know of any, maybe there must be, but I don't know of an organization like us where that does so much. And now we have a retreat center, and we touch people all over the world. It seems like every day I come here now, someone has come here because they've been listening to talks on Audio Dharma. Anybody here today because of that? Yeah, welcome. Isn't it? Well, yeah, you. Not only because of Audio Dharma. Anyway, so I wanted to express certainly my gratitude to all the volunteers, but maybe all of us can to each other. And I was wondering if all the people who have in the past and currently volunteer in some capacity, are there any capacity at all with the IMC kind of orbit that what we do here? Could you stand? That's an amazing group. Well, and Joe, you should stand. You've helped. How many of you are shy to stand? You don't. Maybe you don't think, but you don't. It counts. Some of you. But anyway, thank you so much for those of you who volunteered for me and from everybody. And there's many, many thousands of people who benefit from what you've done one way or the other. Thank you. So now, if you are willing, I was hoping you would form little groups of about four or five people, or flee. four or five people, and spend about maybe 10 minutes with your group, sharing something that comes from you, and about gratitude. It could be your reflections on its value. It could be what you're grateful for. It could be almost anything that comes up for you. So I want to keep it quite open and spacious, what you want to share on this topic of gratitude. And just go around the circle of your group of four or five, and each person can share something. And then we'll do about 10 minutes, and then we'll come back and do a final little closing before the usual time to end. Well, thank you for that. It was nice to sit here and feel all the energy and look like good energy, good feelings, good discussion, good number of smiles. Nice topic. And so one of the wonderful practices is the practice of the sacred pause. And a pause doesn't have to be any longer than the snap of a finger. It can be as long as a Sabbath. But a sacred pause is a time to step back and step out of the usual curtain, pull aside the usual curtain of our thoughts, preoccupations, the usual way in which we're contracted or caught if we're busy and involved and preoccupied and whatever it might be. And take a deep breath or look around or take in that there's much more here. It's really a remarkable thing to be a human, to be a human being, to be alive, when so much of what it requires for us to be alive and to live is given to us, is supported by others, supported by nature. We have a tremendous amount of support that keeps us going. I've been impressed that it's the people who seem to live most self-sufficiently in terms of living in nature and farming and requiring the seasons and the rain and everything seem to be the people who have the most gratitude, and the people who do the least for themselves in terms of what they need in order to get by, and they tend to feel less gratitude. And in the kind of industrial world, we're all so busy and we're much more dependent on each other than many places in the world. So the sacred pause to take in the miracle of being alive, the miracle of being aware, the sacred pause that allows us to take a moment to open the heart, open wide, and see what comes both out of our open heart and see what the open heart can take in from the world around us. I think it's a powerful thing. And if we could have more sacred pauses, we'd have a much better life. So thank you all very much. And I hope that as this holiday season into the new years, that you will pause in a sacred way on a regular basis. And that as you get into the new year, that you leap into the new year, into a wonderful year of appreciation and gratitude for the world we share. Thank you all.